All right, so hey, listen, we'll be right back after the NPR break. We'll be right back with the Sunday Forum on WMNF Tampa.
To the Sunday Forum.
I have the piano, but I doubt it, honestly, because I'm saying, hey, I'm 60 years, you got some good time.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. Church leaders in Jerusalem have issued an Easter message calling for an immediate and sustained ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas conflict. NPR's Jason DeRose reports.
The document from the patriarchs and heads of the churches in Jerusalem pleads for the speedy distribution of humanitarian aid, the release of all captives, and that doctors be allowed to care for the injured. It also calls for the international community to help end the present cycle of violence. The Easter message draws special attention to the two churches in Gaza, St. Porphyrius and Holy Family, both of which have been heavily hit during the conflict. The letter describes the small Christian community in Gaza as bearing especially heavy crosses over the past several months. The church leaders encourage the embattled faithful to remain hopeful, quote, even in the midst of this present darkness. Jason DeRose, NPR News.
A major salvage operation is underway at the Patapsco River near the Baltimore Harbor. Workers are attempting to remove the debris of the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge after it was hit by a cargo ship last week. Commercial shipping traffic has begun moving again near the U.S.-Canada border in the Upper Great Lakes region. It's been shut down since a vessel slammed into a light tower. Rick Brewer of member station WCMU reports.
The 714-foot bulk carrier crashed into a tower dubbed the Mudlake Junction Light. Coast Guard officials determined the ship's hull sustained damage, but it was difficult to determine how much. Lieutenant Phil Gertler is with the Coast Guard. He says this section of the St. Mary's River is known as Mudlake for a reason.
The water is very dark. It's hard to actually see things.
The American Mariner was able to move out of the channel under its own power. Around 90% of iron ore used to produce steel in the U.S. passes through this section of the Great Lakes each year. For NPR News, I'm Rick Brewer in Midland, Michigan.
AT&T says it's investigating a data breach involving the personal information of more than 70 million current and former customers. NPR's Chloe Veltman reports.
More than 7.5 million current AT&T account holders and more than 65 million former ones had data compromised in the breach. A company press release said it occurred about 2 weeks ago. The data set included customers' social security numbers, names, addresses and phone numbers dating to 2019 or earlier. The telecommunications company said it is notifying the affected account holders. AT&T has experienced multiple large-scale data breaches over the years, most recently in 2021 and 2023. The issue is also impacting other telecommunications providers, including Verizon and T-Mobile. AT&T said it has so far not identified the source of the latest leak and that it does not have evidence of unauthorized access to its systems resulting in theft of the data set. Chloe Veltman, NPR News.
This is NPR News.
WMNF Tampa.
Britain's King Charles attended Easter services at Windsor Castle today. In his first significant public appearance since last month's announcement that he's been diagnosed with cancer, Pope Francis presided over Easter Mass in St. Peter's Square. He's been battling respiratory problems all winter and had canceled an appearance on Good Friday. After today's Mass, the Pope greeted well-wishers from his Popemobile. The Alabama Crimson Tide is in the Final Four of college men's basketball for the first time ever. Pat Duggins of Alabama Public Radio reports two more games today will determine the last two teams to make the semifinals for the title.
Tennessee plays Purdue and North Carolina State faces Duke to finish up this season's Elite Eight. Alabama already knows what's coming. The Crimson Tide will play its first game in the Final Four against defending champion UConn next Saturday. Alabama beat Clemson last night, 89-82, to make the Final Four. Guard Mark Sears led the Tide with 23 points.
It's just feeling a lot of emotions, you know, being from Alabama, the state of Alabama, and do it with this group of guys, and you know, it's amazing.
Alabama fans are used to seeing the Tide play Clemson in college football. The last time was a bruising loss for Alabama, 44-16, for the national championship in San Jose in 2019. For NPR News, I'm Pat Duggins in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
In the women's tournament, top seed Iowa beat fifth seeded Colorado 89-68. Caitlin Clark had 29 points. The Hawkeyes now advance to the Elite Eight to play defending champion LSU. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing transformative youth and criminal justice reforms.
Join me late Sunday, early Monday for Body Rock with Mike B on WMNF 88.5 Tampa. The heavy metal disco train leaves the station at midnight for a three-hour dark journey into the sonic underworld of alternative music. Body Rock with Mike B, Sunday, midnight, WMNF 88.5.
Things. We have now taken over your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the one and only DJ Spaceship reminding you that every Monday morning, that's right, every Monday morning on WMNF from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., tune in as me and my co-pilot Nate Dogg give you the music you love, the topics to get you talking, and the motivation to get you out your bed to start your week off right.
If you love classic soul, R&B, Caribbean, gospel, hip-hop, or house music, and if you love podcasting and exclusive interviews, if you love urban culture and urban music, then you'll really love the Urban Cafe channel. You can find it here on HD2 if you have an HD2 radio, or you can go to WMNF.org and download our mobile app so that you can listen to it all the time.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, 9 a.m. weekday mornings right here at 88.5 FM. You'll hear the same fearless investigative reporting on topics too hot for the mainstream media. Tune in to Democracy Now! 9 a.m. weekdays right after the morning show. That's right here on WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, Lakeland, Clearwater, Winter Haven, and Venice.
Your news, your views, your values. This is WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM.
This is Walter Elspeth II, the host of the Sunday Forum. Each and every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m., the Fourth Estate and I do research and have intelligent conversation with each and every one of you. And we love it. We love bringing you the best in radio programming here on WMNF 88.5 Tampa, Sarasota, St. Pete.
Sunday Forum from Erykah Badu.
Don't yes. know what that's about. Sounds like Nas and Erykah Badu. Whose world is this?
Cleva, yeah.
Yes. the sounds of Erykah Badu and Clever.
Yes.
Yes. What else we got on lineup? Yeah.
Oh, you got to hear Give Me Tonight and some other stuff.
Some other stuff.
All right. I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Let's hear that George Benson.
All right.
I'm in the mood for some George Benson.
All right.
Let's do George Benson. Ready?
Man, say he want to hear some George Benson or one note samba.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that's who I like.
Al Jarreau. All right, let's go Al Jarreau. Al Jarreau, folks. Al Jarreau this morning at 10 minutes after the hour of 9. Al Jarreau and the One Note Samba right here on WMNF. On the Sunday Forum, this is Walter L. Smith II, the voice of the Tampa Bay area, along with the members of the 4th Estate crew. Enjoy.
This is just a little samba built upon one single note. Other notes are bound to follow, but the root is still this note. Now this new one is the consequence of the ones we've just been through, as I'm bound to be the unavoidable consequence of you. There's so many people who can talk and talk and talk and just say nothing or nearly nothing. I have used up all the scale I know, and at the end I've come to nothing or nearly nothing. So I come back to the one note, as I must come back to you. I will pour into this one note all the love I feel for you. There are those who want the whole show, do re mi fa la ti do. He will find himself with no show, better play the note you know. La 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 la
best improvisational jazz artist
ever.
Oh, goodness.
Ever. Yo, let me tell you something. The one note samba has been done so many times. Yes. And there are two versions of the one note samba that I am completely in love with. One is Al Jarreau's, and the other one is by Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh my goodness.
What?
Another scatter. Oh my goodness. She can scat.
And she could do it. She could do it in Portuguese.
Oh, okay.
She could do it in Portuguese.
That's something.
Which is absolutely fabulous when you hear it in Portuguese. Oh my God. it's the greatest thing ever, man. It puts me in a good mood.
Yeah.
Puts me in a good mood. So, y'all, thank you very much.
You'll end up tapping and bouncing your head, yeah.
Thank you. Definitely. And I'm sitting up here just mouthing the whole thing. I didn't realize I know every single word.
You'd be surprised.
Of this thing, right? And Miss Annie said they're looking like, oh God, it's Walt Lewis. Yeah, what is he doing? Hey, listen, folks, thank you for joining us here on the Sunday Forum here on WMNF 88.5 Tampa. We are here discussing, you know, how do we save our HBCUs? How do we save our HBCUs? What's happening with our HBCUs? Is there a need to say, yes, there's a need to save our HBCUs. Yes, there's a fight. So if you were asking yourself the question at some point, is there really a fight? Yeah, there's a fight. There's a fight. And our black colleges, our HBCUs are in danger. If you think they're not, ask yourself the question, in the state of Florida especially, why are we getting rid of affirmative action? Hmm. Right? Why are we just mantling?
Because the Supreme Court said they could.
Exactly.
Just
exactly.
So they could.
Why are we dismantling that? Why are we dismantling diversity, equity, and inclusion programs at our universities, at our public universities? Why are we doing that? And it's being encouraged in our private institutions
yes,
as well.
It is.
What's happening? If you think that that's not, it starts out with our black history. It starts mm-hmm. out with trying with eliminating the need for black history being taught in our universities, mm-hmm. in our state universities. Yeah. You know, when you know, but it's okay to learn Florida history. It's okay to learn Holocaust history. It's okay. Well, I say Holocaust, I mean Jewish Holocaust history. It's okay to learn it's not okay to learn about black history, but it is okay to learn that we learn how to use a hammer and nail because of Massa. Mm. Are you kidding
me
right now?
You learned a skill from slavery, yeah.
Right. Exactly.
We learned a skill from slavery. Man, come on, bro. Mm-mm. Stop. Stop with that.
But again, it's all part of the frontal attack ever since the revolution of abolition, you know. The idea of we got to roll back progress has been on their minds, on the white power structure's mind. And then the second revolution, not that one we call the American Revolution, that wasn't a revolution at all.
No.
But the second one, it happened in 1960s, you know, when, you know, the civil rights movement decided it was going to challenge this country. And the world stood in solidarity. And the trick was, we going to, just as it was after abolition, we going to weaken the federal government. We're going to weaken it. We're going to devolve power back to the states, which is cold terminology for white supremacy.
Exactly.
And so they're carrying it out at the state level.
But it's weird because they're reversing it again, and then they're trying to do it in the name of equality, which is, again, giving us no equality, which is crazy.
Unbelievable. That's Orwellian, in fact.
it is very Orwellian.
Oh, my God.
Let me ask this question. Where are the Democrats in this fight for our HBCUs?
Well, like I said, they...
Where are they? Because, see, my question is, where's the party, right? Not just the people who are in office. Where's the party?
Well, I care less about where the party is. I care more about where the people in office are because they're the ones who carry out the power.
Let me, Biden and Harris did do the 93 million.
They send letters. They're the ones who are chiming the alarm right now.
I get that.
My point is, it's the
people. Like, you get what I'm saying? When I say the Democratic Party, I'm saying the people that claim to say, okay, listen, man. And it's not even just a Democratic Party.
No,
let's just forget that part. Let's just say the people.
That's what I'm about to say. Just say the people.
Just say the people. Right. Forget that part.
So, because there are a lot of conservative Democrats.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because they were educated at HBCUs, man. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
You know, white folks, and shame on you white folks, too, who sat there and changed schools from University of Florida to FAMU and not stand up. Mm. Shame on you, because you knew the FAMU had the better pharmacy school. Shame on you for not standing up. Shame on you for not telling your representatives, hey, man, you might want to rethink that, because my money ain't going towards your campaign if you're going to do something like that.
Well, I do think in these colleges, they have certain student bodies and groups and whatnot. I think they need to become more informed as well when these type of grants and things are being, you know, trickled down. They need to find out, okay, how much did our school get? You know, what did you guys do to make sure we got funded for this? As opposed to the alumni's getting their name on their libraries and all this kind of
right.
thing.
Yeah. But see, that's been the issue. The issue, the argument here with TSU, for instance, is where's the student body?
Yeah.
Because the student body during the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, we weren't about all that. We would get up in your chest.
Exactly.
There's some who are standing up today. I mean, you know, of course, students in all their energy have always led movements, and we're seeing it in some campuses, and you know, it requires them to recruit other people and bring other people's consciousness up, because everybody's not going to come stand in solidarity with you, no matter Indeed. Even if they got young energy, they're not. But it's, you know, right here at USF, we have the socialist students who are constantly taking a stand. They're taking a stand right now on a hunger strike. They're saying, we need to see, we need you to divest from the war-making capabilities and the war machinery that you send to Israel right now, because of its Hamas and the humanitarian crisis that Hamas has set off, and Israel is continuing to perpetuate with its war. And they want to see, you know, how the university is what investments they have. And so we want you to divest. And that's the same thing that happened with South Africa in getting people to divest from South Africa. So they're taking a page from an earlier book, you know. So yeah, people in the past have a lot to teach us. But yeah, there are a lot of students who are really taking pains to try to take a stand, and not all students stand with them, because there's so much division nowadays.
It's crazy, but let me tell you, honestly, if I had a child that was still going in college, I would be like, look, tell them I don't want to see y'all do a hunger strike, because let's be clear, these your administration, they're going home and they're going to eat. Okay. So, but I would say, yeah, for real. But I would say, if they could, and I know, again, people are afraid to do this. You know how you hit people? You hit them in their pockets. Okay. You hit them in their pockets. Stop funding them. If you're not going to give us what we need to give us what we need, then why are we constantly giving you our money? Why are we constantly paying this tuition and all these things, and we still don't have the resources we need to be the best that we can be?
And I think the most powerful students may be the athletes, because they're the ones that get the attention the most.
Exactly. But that's how you hit them.
I say right now, all you athletes, you future college athletes, go to FAMU.
They can take a stand.
Go to Tennessee State. Don't you go to Florida State. And don't you go to University of Florida. Don't you go. You forget them.
And they, the parents when, need when to they, stand up
when
too.
They can stand when, mm-hmm. when Florida State and all these other schools can stand up for us, when their student bodies can come and stand up for us to defend us the way they should, as fellow students, then fine. But until then, I say we send all of our kids, and we should have done that anyway. We should have been doing that in the first place.
Right.
But I say send our kids to our HBCUs, man.
Right. I mean, it's again, this $13 billion has been denied over the last 30 years. So, you know, we consistently take our eye off the ball. And in the process, they're slowly in the back room finding ways, plotting ways to take back the progress that we've had. This is just one more example.
They tried to put it on the Tennessee State administration and saying that they were intentionally getting more kids admitting more kids than they had rooms, dormitories, and so forth.
Right. Which, you know, that was a lie.
Come on, man. I think they should sue for some of that $13 billion, because if there's nothing else, it'll bring attention, and then you'll hear other things coming out, and then something will be done.
Absolutely.
It's sad, but it just has to be bought. It has to get so much media attention and social media, then you'll see something being done.
Well, Alexander Beatty has written an email, Walters, asking what does the Florida black community leaders have in the works to match the threat from the fascist right foundations, the foundations now that are being dropped on their heads.
I don't, you know, I'm being honest with you. I honestly don't even think it's almost like they don't even know what's happening. You get what I'm saying? Where's the outrage on that?
Exactly.
Where's the outrage? It's like they don't even know what's happening. You get what I'm saying?
You need basis for unity and outrage.
Do.
And
you do. But if you don't
everybody,
know,
yeah.
If you don't know, then what you doing?
But see,
if you don't even understand what, if you don't, now let's be honest, now, we use the word fascist quite often. You'd be surprised how many people actually know what that means.
Yeah.
like really.
But what honestly. Think about this. How about this? How about they know, and because no one's saying anything, they're not doing anything. They're being complacent. Because, again, nobody's saying anything either. So if they don't know about it, why bring it to the attention? Exactly. And that's what's going on.
But that's why we're on the media, because somebody woke up this morning, didn't know about it, and I was one of them, and now we know. Want to go back to the phone lines?
Yes, please. Yes.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the Sunday Forum.
Gotta get a second dose here. I just spoke with my brother about this. He went to Tennessee State and stuff, and he talks about articulating the same issue. What he points out is that one thing is that President Glover is an AKA. She was the head of the AKAs. And so one of the things that has happened, this issue is not going to go away. One of the things that happened, guess who else is an AKA in the high authority, you know? And believe you me, that AKA that is in high authority is working with former President Glover, because she's got a PhD in finance, and she's also an attorney and stuff like that. And so the question then becomes is, well, what happened to this money? What did you do with the money that you misappropriated and stuff? Where did that go? Who misappropriated that? And that's where we can also focus attention on. This battle is not over. And the man that says you can turn lemon into lemonade, make a lemon into lemonade, was a guy I know. I think his name was Walter Smith. I remember him from way back when. But he used to always preach that and stuff. I don't know if you know him or not over there. But he definitely, that's one of the things that impressed me. And he had been to South Africa. And you know in South Africa, one of the first things you see in South Africa is these signs says, once we respect each other's diversity, then we will become one nation.
That's right.
And that's all over the place. Once you respect each other, Nelson Mandela, respect, then we will never become one nation. Because when you, and also white nationalism, I mean, Christian nationality, that comes right, was a driving force behind apartheid. Read the work of the Doppler intellectuals, how they opposed apartheid and how it violated their teachings of Christian nationality, the driving force. This is all the same. But we don't like to listen to history, and you don't like to listen to me, because they people don't, but read about the doper intellectuals, how they had developed Christian nationalism, which became apartheid, and then they removed against it because it excluded black folk, and Christian nationality was the driving force behind the apartheid movement.
Yep.
And it was the doper intellectuals and the ANC and those guys who began to defeat this way of thinking and all they've done, all these guys have done, the Trump guys, and we don't read our history every now and then, some Ebonics every now and then. We don't read our history. It's all they've done is taken that which was apartheid, that which was the fascism, and they converted it into what we call this MAGA movement and stuff like that.
But yeah, that's what they've done.
Then you will know
what they've done. That's amazing. That's amazing. Thanks, Doc. Thank you. Let's go to our next call. That's a good point. Very good point.
Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. This is Simon from Lakeland.
Simon,
how you doing?
All right.
Good morning.
I did not know much about this topic because it personally doesn't affect me in the sense of sending a child to HBCU or graduating from HBCU. But with all due respect, having done a little research as I'm listening to you on the radio, is that with all due respect, Walter, you're a little bit late to the party. I mean, some of the articles that I've come across date back to 2022, and some of these issues, whether it be Forbes and February 1st of 2022, HBCUs, the nation's black land-grant universities, have been underfunded by at least $12.8 billion over the last three decades. The other issue is that it seems when we discuss these issues, it's always they, them, white, Republicans, wow. MAGA. Let me finish, because this is an important point. The Associated Press did an article October 5th of 2021, and the spending bill that this current administration was spending, they advocated spending $3.5 trillion. Of that $3.5 trillion, also in Newsweek, the current administration was going to give $45 billion to the HBCU colleges, $45 billion. It was whittled down to $2 billion, if that, and it was still in negotiation. Your comment on that.
It's terrible.
there's nothing good about that. And first of all, let me address this. I'm not late to the party at all. I've addressed this issue before. I've addressed the issues of inequities with HBCUs many, many times. That's the first thing. Second thing is he still there? Still there? Sam?
You want to the next call?
Oh, okay. Well, I've addressed this issue many, many times. That's the first thing. Second thing is, what does it matter in terms of you can give us an amount all you want to. The bottom line is, it was stolen.
That's it.
That's the bottom line, Simon. You can tell me, you can give me any numbers you want to give me, man. I don't care if it was 2022. I don't care if it was last year. I don't care what it was. It was stolen.
Over the last three decades.
So decades. Decades. And I got here when? Eight, almost 10 years ago? Come on now.
One decade.
Come on.
Let's go next caller.
Come on, next caller, man. Come on, Simon. You got to come better than that, buddy.
All right, go ahead, caller. You're on the Sunday Forum. Yeah, it's you.
And next time, let's leave Simon on there so we can have that. Because we need to have that.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. It's this caller's turn, but I guess they've walked away from the telephone.
Caller, are you there?
Well, I don't know if you're talking to me or not.
Yeah, we are. We're talking to you.
Okay. How you doing? My name is Ray Tampa, and I'm over here in St. Pete.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining.
How you doing?
All right.
I was texted this morning by a friend of mine who asked me to tune into this station. And I'll be honest, I had never heard any of your podcasts, your programming.
Oh, but welcome.
Okay, well, welcome. Thank you.
But this is great, and I'm glad he texted me. You all have said a lot of interesting things, very interesting things. I took notes along the way. And one statement that was made was, we need to stop being so passive, number one. Mm-hmm. And in many respects, we are a problem, or we are the problem, from the standpoint that when you got these issues happening, too many of us, African Americans, aren't out there voicing opposition to these ridiculous moves made by the racist people in this country.
Agreed.
And I was not aware of the amount of money that's missing from the HBCUs. I went to the University of South Florida, but I still pay attention to what's happening with the HBCUs as well. But I did not know some of the things that you all have said. But I'm the one that is really in tune to what's going on. I have a podcast that's very, very well received, and it's called the Ray Tampa Podcast. And I've had guests on for the past three shows in opposition to this Tampa Bay Rays Stadium deal in St. Pete. And I'm bringing that up only from the standpoint of, look at the optics here. That stadium situation is a matter of the black community having been misplaced or abused years ago in the name of building the stadium and taking people's property under eminent domain. Now we have a black mayor who supposedly lived in that area, family from that area, who's now trying to give that land to white billionaires. Mm. It just doesn't make sense, the opposite. He's giving that land to the white billionaires in the name of owning baseball. It doesn't make sense. We are our own worst enemies. And I commend you all for the topic that you're discussing. I commend you all on the way you're handling the topic. You're really speaking intelligently to the point that people should be understanding of what's being said. I hope millions of people are listening.
Thank you.
And I hope that millions of people will start using their voices as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to commend you. We are in need of developing our own strategies to combat what these southern states are doing, particularly here in Florida, since this is where we are, with a racist governor and a lapdog-filled legislature. They're all lapdogs, the Republicans, that is. We got problems, and we need to come together. And those African-American actors, basketball players, football players, millionaires who are on the sidelines with their mouths shut, saying nothing, that's a problem. That's a problem.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, sir.
And we truly appreciate you calling in.
We really appreciate your call, especially from St. Petersburg.
The gas plant issue is
a very, very critical issue, given we had a discussion last week on the energy omnibus bill. And one of the issues that we cannot ignore is this gas plant issue, given the basis, one of the bases of the energy omnibus bill is how to run gas lines, or where they're going to run gas lines through the state of Florida. And with that being the case, you know, you cannot ignore the fact that the expectation is they're going to run those lines right through our neighborhoods.
Hmm.
Ain't no commercial districts except ones that you create out of our neighborhoods, or the commercial districts are running right next to our neighborhoods, you know, as they normally are. So there's nothing new under the sun as far as that's concerned. Like he was saying, what is important here is number one, he pointed out, you know, the lapdogs of the
legislature.
Yes. And they do exactly what this guy's, you know, what he says, no matter how dumb it is. You know, it's the same thing with the orange man. You know, you got all these people out here. You know how dumb these people are?
Hmm. They dumb enough to buy a Bible for $59.95.
Dude! Yes. Okay, so folks, let me tell you this story.
No.
I get a phone call at about 10 o'clock at night. And it is Miss Annie. She is tripping out. Mm-hmm. Tripping all the way out. Why is she tripping out, folks? Let's
I saw that.
Because she said to me, Walter, in a New York voice.
Walter,
you ain't gonna believe this. And she's dying laughing, but she's hysterical. Absolutely hysterical. Walter, you ain't gonna believe this. I'm like, what happened? She couldn't get out. She could not get out.
It blew
her back.
Mm-mm.
The orange man. They're taking the Bible and patented
the Bible.
He made a patent out the Bible. Do what? Taking the Constitution of the United States and sticking it in the dango Bible and sold it for $59.99.
And these fools gonna buy it like they bought $400 sneakers. I said, he's like, I called him yelling. I'm like, Walter, I cannot believe this. And he's a sick, mad genius. I'm serious. I don't understand it.
And the people that are following this are fools.
I'm like,
absolutely
wow.
Fools.
Because, you know, also what happened on Wall Street last week is that he started his stock. There's something called a stock that he started, and it rolls up because we call these meme stocks where people shoot the price up just by talking about it.
He joined another company.
And he needs that money.
Yeah.
But he can't get it for 6 months.
Exactly.
But in 6 months, when he gets it, the stock is going to tank even further.
I'm like,
so you're
crazy.
A fool if you're in it right now, unless you're in it to short it
you
to make
all
money.
Are fool. Like my man said in the movie The Werewolf, you are the wolf man. He said, you all are fools.
This is true.
Bamboozled.
But Walt, like you said, some people don't know what fascism means. You know what I'm saying? To make it easier for y'all, literally, okay, they said to make for a child to understand if you knew who Hitler and Benito was, okay?
Yes.
Benito Mussolini. Understand something. It's the political idea where the government controls everything. They don't want you to be allowed to say and do what you want to do. You know, it's crazy to me that we don't see this. It's crazy.
And they lie about everything. That's what fascists do.
Everything.
Everything.
They lie about everything. And we don't understand it. We don't realize. And it's not that you're not allowed to do what you want to do. You're just choosing to give them control. You're literally just choosing to get them control. You have a choice. But when I saw that, I lost my mom, Billy. I said, this man has sat here and I was like, add it to the Bible and then pat it.
But he's figured out the white supremacy trick. And that is, you know, we're going to couch it all in this Christian vernacular. And the people that we hate are people that, you know, you're superior to anyways. So who's going to go against us, you know? So people of color, whether you are gay or trans or a woman who shouldn't have too much power, who shouldn't even be opening her mouth behind the pulpit. You know, so these white nationalist Christians have been latching on to this for centuries.
Absolutely.
Because it is something that helps explain to each other their
righteousness. He has literally told you people you are not bright. This man has told you time and time again how unintelligent you are, how so much smarter he is, because he's really great. You know, he does great things. He's really great. That's
and
what he
I thought
right?
you weren't supposed
really
to
great.
You weren't supposed to sell the Bible like that anyway. I didn't know what you
did. Walt, did I not say that to you? I said this man is selling the Bible $60 and you can get it for free. And they
don't
buy it.
He got a whole bunch of Bibles.
Right. Oh my God!
And put a constitution in there.
It
said $59.99.
The Donald Trump Bible. The Donald Trump Bible.
And he hasn't read one. What do you call Corinthians?
Oh my God!
2 Corinthians.
Oh my God!
I think we got a call because we can laugh on Easter Sunday
forever. It's a really great book.
Everybody
should have it. I think you know everybody should have it because it's a really great book. Man, it's crazy.
That's a comment all day.
You can read it forever. You can get it for free, but now go pay him $60 for it.
All right.
And they gonna do it. Go ahead, Carla. You on the air? Wow.
Oh, Doc, I'm suffering now. I plan on listening to your show, but the simple Simon came in. Oh Lord, I had to say something when he said this. Black boy, that he was not affected because his kids go to black university.
You caught that.
This is why this guy needs to. This is why the guys like him. The problem is this guy doesn't understand history and he doesn't understand the makeup of this state and how this state was developed by black folk who were Spanish. And go back to Fort Mosaic. Study that type of business. Study the Seminole, the Native American Seminole War. I mean, this guy, Simple Simon, is just. I just had to call in and just try to correct.
Simple Simon is just
Simon,
that simple.
Like that.
He's simple minded, son. Gun, you know.
That.
Yeah, thanks, dog. You know. Come on, man. I ain't even spending time on Simon.
Don't give
man.
No more energy, exactly. Simon, don't give no more energy.
Yeah, man, that was ridiculous.
Let's get the next call. Don't give
Let's
Simon
go.
No more energy.
Let's go.
All right, go ahead, Carla. You're on the Sunday Forum.
Carla, are you there?
Yeah, we're talking to you.
Carla, all right.
All right, let's get the next one.
That's it for now, okay. But we did get an email.
We got one more?
No, that was me.
Well, that's you. Okay.
The yeah, we have an emailer that called that wrote us.
Simon.
No. but one emailer talks about how we are distracted. We do not have common interests. We have gotten comfortable and we've been lulled to sleep. And the solution, right. Send our kids to HBCUs, make them socially aware and uncomfortable so that they are not lulled asleep.
Mm. Yes. Yes.
And another emailer, I'm not going to read it, but we did get some emails. Okay, I will read it. I'll try. It's really small print, but...
Oh, I thought it was something wrong.
BBC
Wait.
Outlook, 1969, Wyoming Cowboys football players, black 14, lost their scholarships. Took over 40 years for their story to be heard. Also, Rudyard Kipling poem, White Man's Burden. Thank you for the show. Thank you, Ken. That
Thank
email
you,
came from Ken.
Yeah, you should read that. You should read that. Roger Kipling's White Man's Burden.
That's what's weird, though, my Billy? Like the caller said, and you said as well, we should push our children to go to the HBCUs and everything. But what they're actually pushing now is they're trying to make college not as important as it used to be.
Right. Yeah, I've heard crazy. That, too.
You know, and I'm saying to myself, well, I get it, but then again, I don't get it because you need to always instill that education is important, let's be clear. But what they're trying to do now in the Biden-Harris administration is contributing to it because they're trying to say trade schools. You know, they're pushing more towards trade schools as opposed to colleges now.
But that's not new. I mean, the vocational areas of high schools were a 1970s invention, I think.
That's good. I get that. You're right. It's been there. But they're literally trying to say that it's better for the kids to go to trade school as opposed to investing all that money into college.
Yeah, I mean, college isn't for everybody. And right. there's some people who would like to get a skill and go right into the workforce and begin earning money and taking care of their parents, taking care of their children. Some of them take care of parents after they go. So, it's important that both are accessible.
Absolutely. My problem has been with that argument. My problem has been that from a very young age, these children are indoctrinated with that school of thought. Our children are indoctrinated with that school of thought. Our children can't afford to be indoctrinated with that school of thought. Now, if they fall into that category later on, then fine.
Yeah,
but it ought not to be preached to a child. You ain't gonna go to college. You're not gonna do this or another. And if you're not gonna go to college, then this is what we're gonna do. No, whoa, stop. In many instances, they're coached. They're coached, just like they're coached to do badly in math. Just like the coach do badly in English.
You don't have to give up on college just because you didn't go at 18.
Agreed.
You can go later.
But the point is that the colleges down are chock filled with non-traditional students.
Right, yes. right.
And exactly. Do you know why they're chock filled with non-traditional students? For the very reason that we're saying right now.
Yeah.
They're coming back and saying, I wish I had.
Yeah,
and instead, what they do is they do what join the military.
That's
and
nothing wrong with that.
One of the main things is that we have that if you've heard the argument, right? Mm. Our military forces we're losing people in the military forces. I don't know the truth to that as far as it's concerned, but that is, and everybody's heard it, so I'm not saying anything that's new.
No, and people are losing interest in getting in the military, especially white, for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are those like Timothy McVeigh who blew up the federal building in Oklahoma City. He was in the military and just got disgruntled, but he was a white supremacist the whole time.
Right. And we have white nationalists trying to get in there or getting in there and stuff
getting
like that.
Getting in there to get access to the issue of
our kids, though, our children.
Not going to college.
Our children not going to college, though, is based primarily on us preaching, on our parents preaching, our young parents, who this was preached to them. It is only in this recent two to three generations that this was being preached to. And that's when they took the vocational schools out of our high schools. The second they took that out of there, it was preached to them and preached to them and preached to them. Listen, you don't have to go to college. You can just go and go get your job at the post office. And you could do, no, you don't have, you're right, you could do that. You could. But you could also go and get an engineering degree.
Yeah, but
you have the aptitude for it. You see, when we're failing these standardized examinations, it's not just because of cultural bias.
No.
It's also because our parents and people around us are putting their mind. One thing we never did to little Walter and my daughter is say to them, hey, you know what? That's mighty hard when they put a fraction or a decimal point in a math problem. No, figure it out.
Personally met anybody who discouraged anybody from going to college, except maybe because of the cost, you know, because of inequality. Yeah. And or you need more time. I've heard people say take a gap year. There are many choices you can make. That doesn't mean you give up or that doesn't mean you don't care. But, you know, there are those who do need some extra incentive, you know, and it is too much inequality.
My mind just jumped right over to you. I love you.
Oh, okay. I love you, too.
But I agree with him 100%. But the logic behind him saying that college and everything is because most people getting degrees and they wouldn't actually work in that field that they spend all that money to go to school for. So that's how, to me, that's how some of this came about. But I agree with you 100%, Walter. It is how we as parents start to instill that mindset in our kids, the importance of college and why they should go. And my daughter did the same thing. She's like, Mom, I want to take a gap year, like you said. Because she was straight, and she graduated a year early and everything. And she got a full scholarship to go to University of Tampa. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I was upset. Don't get me wrong. I'm like, that's a very expensive school. You just got a whole scholarship. You told me you want to take a year off. Stop playing with me.
Okay? But the scholarship would still be there, wouldn't it?
Exactly. No, well, they give it to you for a certain amount of time, to be honest with you, yeah. But I said to her, I'm not the one that has to sit in that classroom, and I don't want you to be in there if you're not going to take advantage of everything that it has to offer. Because at the end of the day, we will have to pay some of that money back. Because she got a full scholarship, but still, some monies you do have to be paid. So I understood what she was saying, you know, because the goal was because she was looking for her to be a lawyer. Got my degree in criminal justice, not because I wanted to be a lawyer. I just wanted to know the law, you know. So she was kind of like heading down that same track. My brother's a lawyer in California and so forth. But that was the mindset behind it. Now, did she ever go back? Nope. You know, some people have to understand that. It's sad.
It's just different people. Sometimes your brain doesn't fully develop until you're 26 years old.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need time. You know, a lot of callers have called in. I don't know if this conversation is really animated them, but let's go back.
But you know what? I tell you what, I know for a fact that I told you I spent 6 years in different parts in Hillsborough County schools, but I also spent a lot of time in education. And I spent a lot of time, and I listened to what those people, you listen to what those kids say. Mm-hmm. They tell you what the hell these people done told them, and they told them, don't go to college because of money. FAFSA, fool. Go get FAFSA. Listen, let me tell you something. If the when our parents told us, and I don't care what that's just my opinion, but it actually pans out. Because when they're looking for somebody to take these jobs, what do they say? You got to have a degree.
Well, they used
you
to
gotta
say
have this right
they
there.
Used listen, to
if you want to go somewhere else or go work on something else, fine. But unless you have that degree under your belt, and the one thing they can't take away from you is that degree.
They can't repossess your education.
They can arrest you, and you can never practice law as a lawyer ever again. But you can go and go teach
there are different things, different strokes, different folks.
Caller, you're on air.
Go ahead, caller.
The fourth estate. With Walter Smith and Company. This is Joe Robinson, man.
What's up, man? What's up, Joe?
Self mode, man. I got everybody around here. Strict Sonny got a lot of stuff straight there. Oh, this, that, West River, wrong yard, all that. Son said, but let me just say this real quick because I know you're so short. I got back from Atlanta at the National Society of Black Engineers. Now, you know, I'm an engineer next to none around here, white or black. Ain't no better mechanical engineer here, white or black, in this kind of battle than Joe Ross. I put my skill set, business set, anything else against anybody around here, black, white, anything else talking about mechanical engineer.
There you go, Joe.
Thesis. Okay, licensed professional since 82, so I want to hear it. But I was very proud when I went up there and saw 19,000 black student engineers, nobody with the pins hanging down, got on suits, ties, dressed appropriately, women dressed appropriately, everybody courtesy getting in and out. Ain't no incidents or nothing. And up there with every major corporation you can have. I was very proud. because they wanted us to come back. I'm a founding charter member of the National Black Engineers, in case y'all didn't know. And they wanted to recognize us for 50 years ago. We started up as students at Purdue University because I represented Iowa and other people were there. But I just want to say that is the solution. I don't care what you say. I push engineering every day, and I say that that is the way out. And I tell students up there three things real quick. Let me tell you about the time. Okay, keep trying. And then I tell them, I say, walk by faith, not by sight. And the last one I say is, it's better to be late at the Golden Gate than to arrive at hell on time. A lot of
I like that.
So I'm going to leave y'all alone. Happy Easter out there to everybody.
Blessings. I like that.
City, baby.
It's a station in this town for a lot of black folks on the East and the West Coast.
Let's get it. Peace, man. All right, folks, listen, 30 seconds. Please go directly to your statement. 30 seconds, please. Go.
Call you on air.
Yeah. Uhuru,
what's going on, bro?
It's all good. I'm
going
to try to do it 30 seconds. I'm going to say that, colonizers treated our grandmothers like cows and our grandfathers like fowls. And it should be no surprise, a big deal when we learn that, or we see over and over again, they treat us like dogs. The thing is, we should look to see what our ancestors did to combat that kind of treatment. You know, look and see what Jean-Jacques Dessalines did in Haiti. Look and see what Castro and Che did in Cuba. Look and see, what Ho Chi Minh and General Jacques did in Vietnam. Look and see. What Mao did in China, and apply those kinds of ideas to make it impossible for our colonizers to continue to mistreat us. I mean, it's good to hear, over and over again of all the terrible things that they do. But what's better to hear is all the things that we can do, all the things that our ancestors have done to beat them off our backs every chance we get. Yeah, right.
Ooh, brother.
Thank you, Carla. I would love to meet you in person.
Let's do it.
Sound like a plan.
It sounds like a plan. Let's get on the show together.
Let's do it.
Next one, Carla, you on the air.
Hey, 30 seconds, sir. Good morning. How you doing? Let's go 30 seconds, please. Go directly to your question, sir.
Okay, it's not a question. It's a statement.
Okay.
These schools have been troubling communities for a very long time, and the variety of Montessori, gifted and such, haven't been plugged up in line with the ambitions of the communities they're supposed to serve. That's what it's been. I went through gifted. I actually did the same courses for 2 years studying simple science when I was hungry for a heck of a lot more. Etymology, engineering, a lot of in-depth things, and even things such as carpentry and those vocational things. That was back in the 90s. That was here in Hillsborough County. A teacher got called out saying, well, this is going to be a restaurant hospitality state anyway. Principal took her on, said, excuse me. He had to apologize. And there's more to that story, but I'm just telling you, it was corrupted just to slow people here down because this is prime real estate. Look who here now. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Carla.
All right. Thank you, Carla. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. All right.
Closing out.
Is that George?
That's George.
Let's hear it. The sounds of George Benson, folks. Hey. All right. We want to say happy Easter to everybody out there. Shout out to my family and all of your families out there. Shout out to my wife, Yolanda. Happy anniversary, the wedding anniversary of me, 22 years, 24 together, of me and my lovely wife, Yolanda Rodriguez Smith. I love you, mi vida. We applaud her for that. Hey, listen, thank you for joining us here on the Sunday Forum. And listen, please be safe this Easter holiday, this Resurrection Day. Please remember the reason for the season. 39 lashes. Mm. 39.
So, I mean, he deserved more than just this one day. So continue to praise him even after this day closes out.
I'm telling you. And what was it? For his stripes.
For his stripes. We are saved.
We are saved.
We are saved. Absolutely.
39.
Absolutely.
39. Oh, man.
Can't even imagine.
Can't even imagine. Because if they had given him 40, it would have killed him.
Can't even imagine.
Lord have mercy. Hey, listen, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on the Sunday Forum. Happy Easter to everybody out there. Happy Resurrection Day. As I said before, please be safe out there with your loved ones and your family. We have the post body hoot nanny coming up next.
I love you,
everybody. And we'll see you as always from my voice to the radio waves to the hearts and the minds of the people. We love you. And there's not a thing you can do about it right here on the Sunday Forum. Peace.
WMNF 10. Talk.